This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Want to talk to us at World Wide Wave? Email us at worldwidewave@ymail.com. This is the world we live in.
Surfing the globe, bringing global gay news, stories, and life to you one country at a time. This is the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
And thank you to the boys of Sound Museum, as always, Leo and Jono. This is the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9. I'm Tom, joined by Squirrel. And a special shout-out, happy birthday to Hikaru, who isn't with us. He's having some fun celebrating his special day. Tonight, we start our Difficult Countries series. We are in Iran, where we seek to clarify the myths. And helping us out doing that this evening, we're joined in studio by Sarah. Say hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and joining. We've got lots to ask you coming up soon. First of all, I think we've got a song, and we should say that it is an all-Iranian music night, is it not?
Yes, it is. And I believe that the big thing we have to remember for the evening is that it is Iran, not Iran.
I'm an American. You may feel free to hit me every time I say that because it is grained in my head, though I know it is wrong.
I'm in a studio with someone from America and someone from Iran.
Yeah.
Let's bring on the first song. Sarah, what's the name of the first song?
Temptation by Arash.
By Arash. All right. Let's hear Temptation by Arash.
Welcome back to the World Wide Wave here on Joy and 94.9. Tonight, we are in Iran. By the end of the night,
well
I might get it done.
Well done.
Time for fun, fast facts. Basically, they're interesting. They're a little bit different than what we're used to, but that's neither here nor there for us to say. Homosexuality is a crime punishable by imprisonment, corporal punishment, or in some cases, basically all cases of sodomy, even execution is possible under the Islamic government. However, that isn't something that always happens. We don't want to imply that. Iran insists that it does not execute people for homosexuality, and those executed have usually committed rape, murder, or drug trafficking.
Well, I was just curious about this execution thing. Sarah, not to ask, but is there a lot of execution going on?
Not that I have seen of. What I know is mostly what is on the internet. So it's not something that you walk in the street and see people being executed because they're gay or lesbian. It's not something very common.
Okay, so it's not a common thing to be executed. What is there? You were saying earlier there's a lot of laws that almost stop someone from being executed?
Yes. I don't think it's an easy decision to make for any court or any judge to ask people to execute people. So the law of Islam exists in Iran. It says that there should be an execution for someone who is gay or lesbian, but who is going to say that it has happened? Like, there at least should be three mature witnesses, three men at least, who have seen it, the incidents, and they have to report it. So if they go to the court, if they witness what happened, then there might be some punishment for that. But I don't think this punishment comes by itself. I haven't seen many situations, but the law exists. But it's not common, I think.
Okay, so the law exists, but it's not common. Sorry to interrupt. We're going to cruise on with the fun, fast facts. I just wanted to verify.
Absolutely, absolutely. All sexual relations that occur outside a traditional heterosexual marriage, i.e. sodomy or adultery, are illegal, and there's no distinction between consent or non-consensual sodomy. Homosexual relationships that occur between consenting adults in private are a crime and carry maximum punishments, which we heard could mean death. Also, the death penalty is legal for those above 18 And if murder was committed, then it's at the age of 15. So this is definitely a, while it may not happen all the time, I think we can agree that there is definitely capital punishment on the books there. That is an Islamic law. In November of 2007, there was an Iranian British counterpart from Parliament meeting with the British people, and he admitted that Iran believes in the death penalty for homosexuality. He believed that gays deserve to be tortured, executed, or both. Now, this is an individual member of Parliament, but it is someone who basically speaks for that government and made a rather astounding comment.
I think every individual has the freedom to say whatever they want to. I, as an individual, I'm saying my words. He's saying that as an individual, but I think that person was not really talking. I mean, I can't speak for him, but I don't believe that Islam is giving the law of torturing people. It's just, I think that what I know, what I've heard, I don't have documentation with me now, but at the time of Prophet Muhammad, there were gays, and I think the reason Islam brings this law of execution is that there were diseases being widespread at the time, and one of the reasons is like they didn't want it to happen. So one of the reasons could be that it didn't want, but that person could have said something by his own individual mind, but I'm not sure about that person.
That's fair enough. I think gay Iranian couples are often afraid to be seen together in public and report that LGBT people were widely stereotyped as being sex-oppressed child molesters, rapists, and diseased-ridden degenerates. Not such a great comment. However, I think it is also fair to state that there are homosexuals in Iran. They are accepted on some level, and there's actually a little word that some Iranians have, because obviously you don't say, hi, I'm Iranian, I'm gay, but people know these things, and there's a nice little friendly way that they communicate with each other. What is that word?
Yeah, that's not the word that they communicate with each other, that's the way we communicate with them. So right. We would say that they're Eba Khahar, which means that it refers to men who are men when you look at them, but they don't look like a man, they don't act like a man.
All right.
So that's what happens. That's Eba Khahar, that's all. But it's not all right. Something that they would refer to themselves by that word.
What is Eba Khahar? What is
Khahar? Khahar is the word, it means sister.
So that is sort of a universal way of saying hello to the boys then, perhaps.
So yes. Despite being laws to execute gay guys, you're saying that it's the hey sister, there clearly are. Do you have gay friends?
I do have at least two gay friends. They are almost close friends of mine, but you can see, you know that they're gay, but it's not something that they talk about all the time, or they don't announce that we are gay, but you can see that. There's no need to talk about it, but it's there.
So even amongst friends, then, it's not necessarily something that's talked about. You may know it because you can see it, but you don't go, so how's your boyfriend?
Do you think it's something that can be easily hide? Especially from...
Yeah, there are some that, understood.
You know what I mean? It's like, I used to go to party with my boyfriend of the time, and we had this gay friend who was really attracted to my boyfriend, but it was really sad for me. I mean, I couldn't feel good about it.
But it's not also cut and dry. There is also the fact that within Iran, I will get it, I promise.
We practice this for an hour before the show, too.
While there are some interesting things going on there, gender change is actually state-sponsored. It is sponsored by the government. And we're going to actually speak about that a little bit more later this evening so that we can find out the details. But I think we've got some more interesting music right now as a little break. What's coming up?
Well, coming up, we've got another song by Arash called Broken Angel. We're here on the World Wide Wave. And if you have any thoughts on Iran, gay rights in Iran, or you've been to a party and someone's been hitting on your boyfriend, you can contact us at onair@joy.org.au. We love to hear from folks. Or SMS us at 0427-JOY-949. That's 0427-569-949. But first, we've got Arash's Broken Angel Remix. It's 27 minutes long. Shall we play the whole thing? Here on Joy 94.9. Welcome back to the World Wide Wave. We are here with Sarah live in the studio learning about Iran. We were just chatting about how execution is possible, though does not happen too often. And we also learned about Evakahar, which is like, hey, sister, if you were wanting to speak Farsi.
Evakahar?
Yeah. I knew I was pronouncing it right. What we're going to be chatting about now is trans rights, because you had mentioned in your fun fast facts that it was all right to... Well, not all right to, but it's actually even government-sponsored to be trans?
Apparently, it is government-sponsored, as in they will pay for this, but it's not as cut and dry for that. There is an actual reason, and I think Sarah is going to share with us.
Yeah, I think Iran is the second country in the world having gender transformation after Thailand. And the reason behind is that I think, I personally believe that government does not want to execute people because how they feel, how they sexually are. So they are funding people who really are gay to go through transformation and have the surgery, which is a very expensive one, but it's funded. I think it's a good thing from the government.
So it's sort of interesting. I like that approach. We don't really want to execute our people. And I mean, who does just want to go executing their people? So they've sort of found this exit, if you will, and it's seemingly okay. You know, we're letting the people continue to live
the life they want,
and
to
we're
somehow
trying to get them into society by making it somewhat, let's use the phrase, acceptable. Mm-hmm. So I like the approach. Unfortunately, it's not as cut and dry as that, and there's a big decision with changing one's gender. And sometimes in that sort of situation, there are negative connotations.
Yes.
And we were talking about this off air, and you were saying...
There are some drawbacks to it, definitely. I cannot say every single Iranian family is a very open-minded one, so they cannot easily accept their child to go and have gender transformation. So after having the surgery, they either will be accepted by their family or not. If the family accept them, that's perfect. But in the situations that they are left by their family, and in most cases, they might not have jobs, no money support. And in many cases, when men go through this gender transformation, especially, they have to become prostitute to earn money. And that's basically being shown in one of the documentaries, Gender Transformation in Iran, which is a very sad one. And that's the worst situation. Like, you don't have any family, no friends, and no money to live on.
That is unfortunately a universal thing. I think we could probably say that about all countries. So it's not something that, you know, is specific. It's a very sad thing.
It's a very sad thing. And especially when it comes to the family situation, when your mother and father do not accept you anymore and they disown you, it's not easy to live.
That's a hard thing to imagine, definitely. You are here, World Wide Wave, Joy 94.9. We are speaking with Sarah. Squirrel's going to join us shortly and have something to say as we speak about Iran. But I personally want to hear some more music. We've got another song, and I think Sarah should introduce this song. Do you remember which one it is? You chose them all.
Yes, it's a song by Kamran and Human, who are two cool Iranian singers, very much popular in Iran. And the song is called Because You're the Best, and it means because you're the best.
Pretty cut and dry.
Well, there you go. How would you say the song title in Farsi?
To Behtarini.
Joy 94.9, we are World Wide Wave, and we're in Iran this evening. Iran. Tell me again. Say
Iran.
It. Iran.
Iran.
No more running. All right.
I don't run. It's not Iran.
Specifically, the new religious government that came to be established after the 79 Iranian Revolution classified transsexuals and transvestites with gays and lesbians. Okay? After 1986, transsexuals were reclassified to being heterosexual. Of course, this is after the operation and so forth. But as life imitating the law, or the fact that real people are accepting of this, you had a fantastic story about someone.
Yeah, I have this friend. We used to go to secondary school together, and we were a group of friends, very close friends, and all of us used to wax and nail polish this girl. And we tried to force her to do that, and she never accepted, and once she started crying and just telling us that I don't want to do it. I'm not like you. I don't like it. At the time, I didn't have a clue what's wrong. No, none of us did, and not even she herself. After some time, she was accepted into a university in capital Tehran. And we have this magazine, which is a very perfect one. It's been translated to Green Magazine. And it has a section which talks about people which are going through gender transformation and things like that. She went to the magazine. She asked for the doctor's name because it's something private. All the names are being changed and you cannot easily follow them. So she had to go and ask and talk about her problem. After a year or more than a year, like maybe 2 years of having therapies with her family, even aunts and uncles had to go through therapies to accept this new person. She had a couple of surgeries, and then she became a boy. The interesting thing was that she entered university being a girl, and she was graduated as a boy. And the last surgery that she had, her family had this big cake for her. She auntie made it, and they all went to the hospital and celebrated together. And they say that you are born, I mean, a newborn for us. We accept you as you are. And she was very welcoming to her family. She had to had some hormone therapies to really become a boy. And she then, I mean, he at the time, sorry, I'm still seeing her as a girl. And he then saw the girl that he really loved, and they married. And they have the most fabulous wedding ceremony I can imagine. The only thing is that I know it's not, I mean, they cannot have their own child. But they're happy, and everyone accepts them, and it's a good story of gender transformation in Iran.
That is a very good story, because interesting, we had one of the listeners, Sean, email us in and discuss how it was his impression that it was state-sanctioned, almost like they were forcing the mutilation and the gender reassignment, like as a solution to being gay. But you're telling us a very different story right now of someone who sought this treatment and wanted it.
There is no force. Sometimes people choose to change their gender. And even they don't, I have gay friends who are still gay. That's something very...
No, it's good to hear this perspective, because I think from the West, sometimes we only get what the Western journalist and the Western media says.
Yeah.
So it's important to hear both sides of the coin.
Exactly.
Thank you for that. Speaking of hearing both sides of the coin, perhaps it's time we heard a little bit more from some of our sponsors here on the World Wide Wave. Welcome back to the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9, the show that takes you around the globe, country by country, looking at LGBT rights issues, news, and pop culture. Tonight we're in Iran, and we're talking with Sarah. Sarah has been telling us about some of the history of Iran and some of the current laws, and also a little bit more about the transgender surgeries. We just wanted to ask you, is it true? We were reading that back before, in the 1970s, that it was a little bit more liberal, almost more accepted. Can you tell us a bit about that?
I think at the time of Shah, before Islamic Republic of Iran, it still was the rule of Islam being dominant in Iran, although it was not as being gay was not as it was more tolerated than it is now. It's like, I think it's mostly about the effects of Western media nowadays, that we can see it on in other countries going on, and we are more knowledgeable, more educated people rather than 30, 40 years ago in Iran. So I can't exactly say that at the time before this, before revolution, it was something okay. It was not. People, at least people were not as open-minded as they are now. So it couldn't be some, it was only the case that they didn't used to talk about it this much. You know what I mean? It's just not about the law. It's about how people accept a fact in a community, in their society, in their everyday life.
So they're starting to talk about it more and accept it. So before the revolution, there were even some gay nightclubs. But now, are there any gay nightclubs in Iran?
There is no nightclub in Iran. It's an Islamic country.
There are no nightclubs.
There is no nightclubs.
So we've gone from having gay nightclubs to having no nightclubs. Okay, that's very clarifying. In terms of listeners writing in, we've got one, Elka, has got a question rather than a comment. Do you know of any LGBTI groups in Iran trying to make it a safer place, and do they need support from outside Iran? And do countries like Australia ever make formal statements condemning such executions? Yes, definitely. There is, in 2001, an online Iranian LGBT rights organization was founded by an Iranian gay activist, Arsham Parsi, and it was called Rainbow. And it was followed by a kind of a clandestine organization, the Persian Gay and Lesbian Organization, which got renamed the Iranian Railroad for Queer Refugees. Now, the founders had to flee Iran. He's gone on to Canada. And so now the organization is running, and it's primarily online, and it's running out of Canada. But it's also been backed by other countries like Sweden and the UK, who have rules. For example, a bunch of Iranians living in Sweden were about to be extradited back to Iran and potentially tried for being homosexual, or they argued that their lives would be in danger. They were gay, they were Iranian, they were living in Sweden, and they basically begged the Swedish government not to let them go back. The Swedish government said okay, and for 6 months let them extend their visas and stay a little longer while that was being sorted out. So there are countries that are offering protection to people who are afraid of returning because they are homosexual, which is a bit of a different story from your sort of hey sister and gay culture. Is it safe to be gay in Iran?
As an Iranian, don't like to say that, but have you ever seen the cases where people are not really gay or lesbian, but because they want to see to live and settle down in another country, they just show off as they are, and they just want to get a residency in other countries. As simple as that. People change.
Play the gay card.
I mean, let's be honest. You can't say that is, you know, a complete farce. That has to, people will do anything to go other places. But I think that what's really important here is that we talk about this and we say that it's simply just not the way things are done there, that under the Iranian Islamic law, this is, in their opinion, a no-no. So just because the rest of the world, or that's an inappropriate statement, I take that back, because a number of countries in other parts of the world don't think there's something wrong with it, I think it's a fair thing to seek asylum on. We don't all have to agree on the same thing, so I understand what you're saying about it not being an Islamic, but if you feel you are gay, I think you should be able to seek asylum for that.
Well, I think she was more saying that people are pretending to be gay.
Yeah, and I didn't disagree with that. I mean, I don't know of an exact case, and I can't say that, but if people want to live somewhere, you know, I guess that could possibly happen, yes.
They are lucky to be gay. Lucky, I tell you. no, but it's true. And just to answer the question coming in, there, if you Google search Iranian Railroad for Queer Refugees, you can find out about ways if you are interested in helping these folks, assuming, of course, they are queer, which you got to assume some of them are. And it's also true, though, that there was a bit of a some young boys were executed, and this is another thing that was on YouTube and quite controversial, and it's something that the Iranian government is saying that no, there were other things involved, and we'll get back more into that after this next song. We've got another Barobak song coming up for you.
اگه زندونیش کنی Joy 94.9. This is the World Wide Wave. We are in Iran.
Iran.
I'm just going to point to you every time I need you to say the word, because you say it so beautifully. I can't.
It's a beautiful word.
There you are. We are, of course, joined here with Sarah, who's telling us all that she knows about everything, even besides her home country. She's been having little chats with us offside. She's an absolutely beautiful girl, and we thank her so much for taking the time to join us tonight. We did mention just before the break, though, we were talking about something very controversial, and that was something that happened a while ago. It's something that's on YouTube. It's something that people are talking about because it's out there, and that is the execution of those three people. Do you have an opinion on that?
Honestly, the date is going back to the time I was not in Iran. I don't know the story. I cannot comment on it, and I don't know what the whole thing in the court has been going on about. So I'm not really in the position to make it to say anything about it. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Fair enough. Actually, we did have somebody ask, "What's it like to be of Iranian descent and gay outside Iran?"
Just less stress-free for you. But I should be honest, I cannot say that being a gay in Iran is so hard if you don't say it. If you don't announce that you're gay, you can have a life as other people have. But being outside Iran, you can just...
Here I am, no life of luxury.
Joy 94.9, this is Worldwide Wave. I have to ask, the song doesn't sound like what we've been listening to. Where did this come from?
Well, I mean, do you think it was someone Iranian singing it?
Honestly, this was the first time I was hearing that, and I was like, gosh, it's definitely not a song being sung by an Iranian wouldn't call Iran Iran, for sure. So, I, not insulting you, though.
No. I understand. I agree with you.
Come on. I think sometimes they're right when they say it's media attack. Why should people who are not Iranian making something like that, putting it on YouTube? It just doesn't make sense to me. We can defend our own rights. You know, that was not something being seen by any of us. So
I'm curious. It's something that we found on YouTube then?
Yeah, if you do the YouTube search Gay in Iran, and if you listen to the lyrics, it's saying 74 lashes later, because the penalty if you're underage... and it's a male and male kind of basically caught homosexual act is 74 lashes on the books. Now, that's not to say that this happens or doesn't happen. We don't know. But this guy decided to make a song about it. And so if you put YouTube gay in Iran, that's what you get.
Okay. So someone making a political statement, understandable. But I just listening to it, I mean, I'm not supporting either side or anything like that. I just immediately was like, this isn't what we've been listening to all night. So I was wondering where it came from.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, you know what else is interesting? Okay, so 74 if you're a gay man, youth. How much for a lesbian?
The punishment for lesbian on the books is 80? 100 lashes.
90?
100.
100.
As you just said, a non-adult who engages in consensual sodomy, that's punishable by 74 lashes, which was what we were talking about in that song. And then, of course, on the books, which we have spoken about and heard both sides, sodomy is punishable by death.
Which is not common.
Correct. We did talk about both sides of that, but yes. Have to be fair, it is on the books.
On the books, but whatever is on the book is not even the rule in Australia or in the United States. So.
Absolutely. They write entire books about laws that are on books and don't get pushed. But
you know, you can't drink coffee in Raleigh, North Carolina after 6 p.m.
Well, that just sounds like a logical law to me. Why would you bring that up?
I know. Why would you bring any laws up? Okay. But, you know, another thing we brought up is that we just honestly don't have the same kind of music selection taste that you've got. Now, you've got another one for us by a Mansoor Bari.
Mansoor, yeah.
Yeah. Is this, is he Iranian?
It's Iranian, but I think he is singing this one in Turkish. So it's a kind of dialect in Iran.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There we go. We're reaching out here on Joy 94.9's Worldwide Wave.
Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9. That's right. You can check out our podcast too. We are joined here with Sarah, who has just perhaps cheekily told us about an Iranian tradition where we were supposed to ask her and give her a minute to tell us what's on her mind. So, in fairness, we say, what is on your mind? What do you think, Sarah?
It might be interesting for you to know that the first thing, the first very eye-catching thing in Australia for me was seeing gay lesbian people, which I was not really used to see them in the street that often, that much. I had like few friends, but it was not something very common. And I came here being grown up, having my ideology of life and everything well shaped, and I can have my best friends being gay and lesbian, and it's just very normal in contrast to what they have told us in Iran. It's normal. People are going after what they like to do, after what they want to do, and it's just find it good, because it's not what they told me for many years. I've been growing up as like, this is the way you should be. You should be straight. I now understand that this is something which is true. People do not show off being gay and lesbian. They really are, and they're enjoying their life. So that's a good thing to learn from me.
That is fantastic news. And I just want to say one more time, thank you so much for taking the time to come in and speak with everyone this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It has been absolutely fantastic having you here. And if you would like to come in and speak with us on Worldwide Wave about something that's on your mind, you can contact us at worldwidewave@ymail.com. And of course, don't forget Facebook. We've got Worldwide Wave, one word. Also, tonight does begin the special Difficult Countries. Coming up ahead, we will be speaking more than once with Logan Muka. And I've totally botched your name. Forgive me, Logan. He's the director of the film East Bloc Love. We'll be specializing, focusing in on Belarus, Poland, Latvia, Romania, not necessarily in that order.
If you're from Belarus or Latvia or Poland or any other country, we really have enjoyed having you here, Sarah, and having you on air and talking to us and just having a real source. So by all means, get in touch with us, including our Twitter page. We can't forget the Twitter page.
We can't, but unfortunately, I don't think either one of us know how to tweet.
Joy? Yeah, we don't know
that's
how to tweet.
That's it, W3Joy.
Hikaru,
that's all we can.
We've thought of you and we mentioned the Twitter page. It's W3Joy. And by all means, if you want to come in and be a live guest on our show, let us know.
Thanks for riding the Worldwide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.